Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Man, I hope you're enjoying this series, 3 days that changed the world. You know, every time I teach this, I add something to it and bring new things out. So you're getting some things in this broadcast that you've never heard in the series, or you've never heard me talk about before. But I am just telling you, I am enjoying this so much. I'm having a personal revival while we're doing this. Now, today, we're going to be talking about his faith and our benefit. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the faith of Jesus and what we have by the faith of Jesus. I am so thankful that I'm receiving what he could get with his faith and not trying to receive what I could get with my faith. Because if it's just all about my faith, I'd be wavering and all up and down. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to share some things with you today about the faith of Jesus that's going to revolutionize how you operate faith. It's going to revolutionize how you connect with God. Now, this message and this series are always available at impactministries.com. I want to be a blessing to you. In 3 days to change the world, you're going to have 8 powerful CDs. It's going to open your eyes to what you have through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's going to make faith so incredibly easy that you're not going to be able to believe it. And I'm just going to tell you, for the rest of your life, everything about how you relate to God, everything even about how you relate to yourself can change because you now have faith in the finished work of Jesus. That's the basis of great faith. You know, in the faith movement, we learn some incredible things about faith. And I am so deeply grateful for the positive, healthy things I did learn about faith. But just like every movement, just like the movement that we're in right now, people get off the rails with some truth and they take it someplace where it's not really truth anymore. And they may be quoting scriptures that are true, but when you take those scriptures out of context or misuse them, they are no longer truth. In other words, they are no longer representing what God actually implied and intended by His Word. But in the arena of faith, I discovered something years ago that totally changed everything about how I operated faith. Because, you know, for years we were taught that, you know, we had to get faith for finances and we had to get faith for healing and we had to get faith for, you know, for overcoming depression or faith for whatever. And there, you know, there is a certain amount of truth to that, in that the honest truth is all of us are more confident in some areas than we are others. All of us are more apt to follow God in some areas than we are other areas. And so I understand there's a certain legitimacy to that, but I also realize this. If we compartmentalize faith into all of these different categories, before long we're going to have this so complicated, but even the worst thing is not just to get complicated, the worst thing is we actually start leaving Jesus out of our faith. And before long, when you leave Jesus out of your faith, faith always becomes a religious dead work. It always becomes something that you're doing to try to get God to do something for you. And man, you don't want to live there. There's no victory in that. There is no peace in that. There is no joy in that. There's nothing in that but self-righteousness and excuses for when you fail. So, you know, I remember one time I was in a television program with some dear friends of mine, Bob and Audrey Miser, and I minister with them on a regular basis on television and across North America. And Audrey heard me make this statement that I had not struggled with faith for finances at that time, you know, in maybe 20 years. You know, now it's been more like 30 years or something. And I'm not saying that I've never had financial challenges. I've faced some incredible financial challenges. And I'm not saying I haven't had great opportunity to have concern because I have. But I want to explain what I meant by that, but before I do, I want to say, and so Audrey began making this same journey. She said, you know, when you said that, she said, it just lit up inside me that I didn't need to worry about finances. I shouldn't be worrying about finances all the time. And I want to tell you something. She dealt with her heart beliefs, and she applied some of the principles that I'm going to share with you today to the area of finances. And I'm not going to be talking about finances today. I'm going to be talking more about righteousness and other benefits in God, because we're talking about His faith and our benefits. And but she applied these principles and found an incredible deliverance from worry and fear concerning finances. And you'll find that whether it's health, whether it's finances, whether it's peace, whether it's joy, whether it's loneliness, doesn't really matter what it is, you will discover that when you know how to connect to Jesus and what He accomplished by His faith, you'll find that everything is going to change. You see, here's what I discovered. I discovered that I didn't need faith for finances. I needed faith to believe what Jesus accomplished in the area of finances. Likewise, you know, in the area of physical healing. Man, I have faced some life challenges. You know, first of all, you know, I was born with a congenital kidney disease. And, you know, I didn't get that because I abused my body. I was born with this. I came into the world, had immune, you know, function problems, which meant I got every kind of flu, every kind of virus, every kind of sickness that came through, I got it. And, you know, by the time I was from the ages of birth till about 5 years old, I was in and out of the hospital pretty consistently. By the time I was about 9 years old, I nearly died with meningitis. And I could just go down. I don't think I ever made it more than about 2 to 3 years without some life-threatening disease or some life-threatening happening that occurred in my life. Oh, man. I have faced some things. Well, you know, I discovered that I didn't need faith for healing. I needed faith in what Jesus did about healing. I needed faith in what Jesus obtained by His faith. And I started realizing that as a believer, I am in Him. I'm not only in Him positionally, but I like the way the book of Acts says it. It says, in Him we live and move and have our being. In other words, there's not any aspect of my being that I want or need to experience outside of what is available to me by being inside of Him. I am baptized into the body of Christ. And the moment you believed the truth about God raising Jesus from the dead and confessed Him as Lord, at that moment you were baptized into the body of Christ because you were born again. And then in the body of Christ, now you have access to all of these things that Jesus has accomplished by His faith. But you still have to believe. This doesn't exempt you from faith. And let me say, there is a corrupt message out there today that says if Jesus got something by His faith, you don't need to exercise faith. Well, I want to tell you something. The people that believe that message, they're not seeing healings. They're not seeing miracles. They're not seeing people get born again. They're really not seeing much of anything happen in the way of the promise of God, because it becomes an apathetic, irresponsible, lackadaisical life of nothingness, because it's all supposed to be automatic to you. And I've never seen anybody make that journey that didn't end up shipwrecked in the area of faith and struggling to hold on to the relationship of Jesus. Now, I want you to understand, the Bible talks so much about what we have as a result of the faith of Jesus. You know, our righteousness is by His faith. Philippians 3:9 says that Paul says, I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Well, that word faith in Christ is in the Greek is the same as faith of Christ. So anytime you see the word in, it usually could be translated in, through, with, or of. And so you don't just choose which word fits you the best. You try to understand how all of those words would apply to what you're reading. So Paul says, I want to be found by having this righteousness that comes by the faith of Christ as well as faith in Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Romans 3:22, it talks about even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. So again, you see that the righteousness of Christ is not on everybody. Just because Jesus accomplished it, the righteousness of Christ is upon all them that believe. And it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile, it immediately becomes yours because of what Jesus has done in his life. So, you know, Galatians 2:16, Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus. You start saying, what do you mean by the faith of Jesus? How does our righteousness come by the faith of Jesus? Well, understand this. Everything that God did everything Jesus did in his earthly life, first of all, he did limited to the capacities of a mere man. Now, I have had people go crazy on me over the years, but you got to understand something. The Apostle John says that one of the ways you can identify the Antichrist spirit is when someone doesn't acknowledge or confess that Jesus came in the flesh. In other words, he came as a man, a real man with a real human body. In the book of Philippians, the second chapter, it says that he emptied himself. That's one of the most prominent scriptures in the Bible about Jesus becoming a man. You see, Jesus wasn't laying in a manger pretending like he was a baby. He was a baby. Jesus didn't grow up having to learn the scripture, pretending like he had to learn the scripture. He did have to learn the scripture. He did have to learn to connect God with God. The Bible says he grew in wisdom, and it even says he grew in favor with God. And so Jesus came to this earth, and see, there's no way to explain this. There's no way to equate this. And you're not, sometimes people think they're being all pious and righteous and honoring Jesus by saying, oh no, he was 100% the Son of God, and then you know what? That's your carnal concept of honoring him, because you honor him by acknowledging the truth that he emptied himself. He was still the Son of God, but he was limited, the Bible says, in every way and tempted in every way. Man, you think about all the ways you've been tempted and realize Jesus was tempted in every way that I am, yet without sin. And see, that's why he's qualified to be our high priest. That's why he's qualified to lead us out of sin. That's why he's qualified to lead us into the life that he's promised. And that's why he'll do it without condemning us, is because, man, he's full of compassion. He's been there. He's been tempted. He's faced the same temptations that we have faced. So Jesus, as a man, he lives a sinless life. We know this. Now, in the exchange, and we learn this in Isaiah 53, we learn this in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that Jesus, he took upon him, he became who we were so that we could become who he is. In other words, Jesus became sin. That's what the Bible says. That's not Jim Richards' doctrine. That is Bible doctrine. And you know something? I'm so thankful. First church I ever went to, that was one of the things that they taught us right off the bat. That's one of the first things I learned about Jesus. He became a man. He became sin. He died and went to hell, was what the King James says. But we know that's really that he went to Hades. Now, understand the implications of this I'm reluctant to say this in a way that you can understand it, because people will take it out of context, and I've had people take it out of context. But for all practical purposes, Jesus died a sinner's death. Why? Because he had become sin. So even though he had not committed sin, he now had become sin. So he dies a sinner's death. That's why he was alienated from God, because now he is before God as me, as Jim Richards, not born again, as Jim Richards, full of sin, as Jim Richards, full of all the evil that I had ever committed. Jesus became that. I can't even get my head around that. You can't get your head around it. But you know, you can't get your head around the fact that in the Old Testament, the high priest would lay hands on a goat and confess the sins of Israel and impart those sins to him, so that now that goat becomes the sinner. And sin always has to be paid for in the body of a sinner. This is a legal issue with God. It doesn't make God a legalist. It just means that everything God ever showed us through the law about understanding the sacrifices, understanding the offerings, understanding all these things, they explain to us what had to be accomplished in order for all aspects of righteousness to be fulfilled. So Jesus basically dies a sinner. And that don't even make sense to me. He dies as a sinner. I don't know even how to say that. Can you say he became a sinner? Well, I don't know. All I know is he died with my sin. And my sin and your sin on him was enough to alienate him from God so that we would never, ever, ever have to be alienated. So this means that when Jesus died, he went to Hades. He did not go to paradise. He did not go to the bosom of Abraham. He went to Hades. He went to the abode of the wicked. And he was not held in the grave by the devil. He was not held in the grave by demons. He was not tormented by demons. He was there because God sent him there, because someone had to pay our price. We owed a debt we couldn't pay, and he paid a debt he didn't owe. He became our sin. And so Jesus is now in Hades, alienated from God. You can't escape the fact that that's in the Scripture. A lot of people say, well, why is that so important? Because this is important so that you know this is the one reason you'll never have to go, is because he has already been there in your place. And if you believe on Jesus and if you're in him, God couldn't send you to hell without sending Jesus to hell. So if you're in him, if you've believed on him, as the Scripture says, then you have received the righteousness that he has by faith. Now, stop and think about it. If Jesus died in sin, then he wasn't in the grave as a righteous man. Now, remember, we talked about this last week. God raised Jesus up. Jesus didn't raise himself up, because he had become sin. Jesus had no power to raise himself up because he was limited. He was limited to the life that a sinner would have, and he's dead and he's in Hades. And he's bound there, but the grave couldn't hold him. Man alive. Now, one of the clearest types that we have of Jesus in the grave, and there's actually many psalms that talk about Jesus in the grave and prophesy what his battle would be like in the grave and prophesy the struggle that he has. But there's probably no place in the Bible that more clearly represents Jesus in the grave, in the belly of the earth, in Hades, than Jonah in the belly of the fish. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, Jonah, see, Jonah, that's got to be a myth. None of that can be real. Well, I want to tell you something. There's a reason Jonah was in the belly of the fish. That's because Nineveh, where God had sent Jonah to, worshiped the fish god. And literally, their priests actually wore a hat that looked like a fish with his mouth open and two long tassels, if you will, coming down the back of it. And they were an abominable, idolatrous nation who offered live sacrifices to the fish god. And so Jonah being swallowed by a fish was significant in the fact that he overcame that. He got delivered from the fish that those idolaters considered to be their god. I want to tell you, that's one of the reasons that the people in Nineveh listened to Jonah when he came to preach, because he conquered the fish god. And so Jonah goes, but Jonah, while he's in the belly of this fish, he talks about his whole experience. And in Jonah 2, it talks about it. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, or Hades, or hell, I cried, and you heard my voice. Now keep in mind, read these verses as if this is Jesus saying this, because this is a prophecy of Jesus in the belly of the earth. This is a prophecy of what Jesus did when he was in the grave. So even in the grave, even alienated from God, He had the promises of God. See, he knew everything that God had ever said about him. God said, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God said, your throne, or your scepter is the scepter of righteousness, and your throne is forever, and I'll make your enemies to be your footstool, and you'll reign in righteousness. All of these things that God had said about Jesus, Jesus believed these things. Now remember, Abraham believed that he was the father of many nations. And Abraham was the father, not only the father of faith, but Abraham was actually the father of faith righteousness. And God counted it unto him as righteousness that he believed. Now, for us, we actually do become righteous when we believe. Abraham, he didn't change. His nature didn't change, but God related to him as being righteous even when he wasn't. But Abraham, it shows us and models for us exactly what Jesus did. Jesus, as being someone who died in sin, he believed God's promises for him. And one of the promises is, you shall not leave my soul in Hades, nor suffer my body, or allow my body to suffer corruption. Now, in order for his body not to suffer decay, he had to be raised in 3 days. And so he is in Hades, and he's quoting these scriptures and said, I know you hear me because I trust your word. Verse 3, he says, for you cast me into the deep. And he did. God cast him there. He says, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surround me. Now, he's describing, you know, what's going on? The floods surround me. Your billows and your waves are passed over me. In other words, I'm drowning in this. I'm dying in this place. He says, But I said, I've been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Man, I love that. Boy, you're talking about a declaration based on the Word of God. He said, the water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around about me. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, and the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet, you have brought up my life from the pit. Now understand, he is saying this while he's still in the belly of the fish. You have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted. See, Jesus fought this battle. Boy, you go read this in the book of Psalms, and he talks about, I was almost overwhelmed. Why? Because he was tempted in every way like as we are. Man, he fought the battle the way we would have to fight it. He almost fainted. And he said, but I remembered the Lord. My prayer went up to you and to your holy temple. And he said, but those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry ground. Well, I got news for you. God, as Jesus operated his faith, by his faith, he was raised up in righteousness. And see, remember, the word righteousness means as it should be. In other words, Jesus said, this is what your promise says. This is what your word says. This is how it has to be. And in my heart, I don't see or accept anything happening other than exactly what everything has to be. And so Jesus then uses his faith to be raised up in righteousness, to be raised up by the Spirit of God. And so he, in order for him to come out of that grave, he had to conquer sickness because he died. He took on all of our diseases. He had to conquer poverty because he became poor. He had to conquer every curse of the law because he became every curse of the law. And the only way he could come out of that grave is by using his faith to believe the truth about who he was and believe the truth regarding God's promises. And God raised him up because he believed the truth. Now, the key to this, which I'm going to share in our mentoring moment in just a few minutes, is now, based on what Jesus did, I'm not trying to have faith in my faith as much as I'm trying to have faith in the faith of Jesus. I'm trusting what he did. Listen, don't go away. I'll be back with a mentoring moment in just a second. You know, I've got two great announcements that I want to mention to you. My new book, Apocalypse, A Spiritual Guide for ushering in the return of the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, you've never read a book like this. This is going to change everything you understand right now about the end times. But more importantly, it's going to take your eyes off of the end times, and it's going to put your eyes on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, I want to tell you, if you are called to the ministry, if you are in the ministry, and you are wanting a good Bible education, Impact International School of Ministry is available online, and we believe it's the greatest program anywhere in America. It's the only program in America in a Bible college that every single course is established in faith, righteousness, grace, and in the love of God. There's not a course that departs from it at all. We want to develop you personally as a minister of the gospel, and we want to give you a spiritual guide for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. 3 days to change the world is going to take you from the cross to the throne. It's going to reveal to you intimately what Jesus did, but most importantly, what He accomplished for you. And the way you operate faith is going to totally change, because now, instead of trying to figure out if you can believe for it, the only question you've got to ask yourself is, did Jesus have enough faith for this? You know what? It's easy to believe He had enough faith, and that's what's going to happen. Your faith is going to get easy and light. Learning to trust in the faith of Jesus, learning to have faith in what He accomplished by His faith, is a complete paradigm shift. It is a total game changer, and it changes the way you pray. It changes what's going on inside you. Even if you're confessing the Word or doing things that you have done before, it changes what is working in your heart and in your mind. And now Jesus is the focal point rather than you being the focal point. Now, I want you to understand something. When Jesus came up out of that grave, He used His faith to obtain righteousness. And now that you're born again, now that you have believed on Him, you are baptized into His body, which means you share in everything that He has. So that's why the Bible says in the book of 1 John, as He is, so are you. Now let me tell you, there may be times, and some people will use, now this is a truth, this is a true doctrine, but some people will take a true doctrine and pervert it so it's not truth anymore. And some people will take that and say, well, sin doesn't matter, sin's not going to hurt you. Let me tell you something, sin messes up your heart, sin messes up your mind, sin messes up your emotion. The Bible says the soul, that part of you, your mind, your emotions, this whole, the way you process information, it says it's going to die when you mess with sin. And Paul warned believers to stay out of sin. So I'm not talking about just saying, hey, I'm righteous in Jesus, I'm going to live any way I want to. But I'm saying that your righteousness is now of Him. Being as you should be is now the product of being in Jesus and trusting in what He accomplished by His faith. Now, when you confess the Word of God, now when you're saying a prayer, now when you're seeking God about anything, you're really only asking one question in your heart. Did Jesus obtain what I need through His faith? And you know, that's where you want to know the Scripture. That's where you want to know the Word of God. If you know for a fact that Jesus obtained whatever it is you need by His faith, or if you know that being in Him means whatever is coming against you has no right to come against you, then that's the only other question you got to ask is, did Jesus obtain this? And am I in Him? And then you turn to worship. And as you worship, that truth is manifest in your being.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts and our videos. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.